your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 12. On this last Sunday of 2015, I'd like to just take some time to share with you some thoughts regarding a lesson I continue to learn and experience as I serve the Lord. But not just myself, I think all of us do as we serve Jesus. And I know this morning that I'm not only a minister, I stand in front of a congregation of ministers. God's calling upon your life is just as real and just as important as it is on mine. Whether you pastor a church or not, whether you're involved in a church ministry or not, you have a responsibility and the privilege to serve God and to minister both to Him and to others. I think especially, and it's great to see young moms here today, you especially have a responsibility to minister to your children as well as to your families. And sometimes we as men don't appreciate the fullness of that. And when we do minister, our desire is to minister in strength. I know as far as preparing a sermon or a Bible study, I like to be prayed up, rested up, studied up, practiced up. Not that I stand in front of a mirror and preach the message, but I do go through it in my mind. But I know there are seasons in my life where I can't get as prepared or I'm not as strong as I would like to be when I minister. In fact, not only am I not as strong as I'd like to be, I'm at a diminished or a weak state. Yet I still have that responsibility to give unto God and to others. And I have found that not only is God there, and God gives me the strength to continue to go forward, but those are times where God is, if I could use the term, uniquely special and powerful. And so I'd like to share with you some thoughts regarding this morning. This is something that is common to all of those who serve Jesus. In fact, the Apostle Paul himself went through periods such as this, and we read about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's read together this morning verses 7 through 10. Paul writes regarding ministering from or serving from weakness, to keep me from becoming conceited, because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Let's bow our hearts together and let's ask God's blessing on the sharing of His Word this morning. God, you are such a good and gracious and loving and powerful God, and we worship you today. We thank you, God, not only for 2015, but for a lifetime of your blessings. Lord, even now, Lord, we think of how you were faithful. Even before, Lord, we accepted you as our Savior, you were there, Lord, watching over us, leading and guiding us, bringing us to a place of faith. This morning, dear Jesus, as we look to your word, as we seek your grace and comfort in our time of need, we ask that your Holy Spirit would move upon us in a powerful way. We pray, God, this morning that you would give words to this speaker and ears to everyone who is here today. May our hearts be open to the ministry of the Word of God. May we be changed. We ask this in your holy name today. Amen. Amen. Praise God. As I mentioned, there are times in our lives that everything is going great, and where we have plenty of everything that we need to do, the different things that we need to do as far as our responsibilities. We have plenty of time, we have plenty of money, we feel good. Everything is just, I hate to use the word hunky-dory, but I can't think of another word to use. I guess you all know what it means. Not outdated completely, at least yet. But there are other times where serving Jesus is more of a challenge. And I experienced this many times in my life, and most recently, these past few weeks. And so I just want to share a personal example. And as I do, I just want to take note, as I share, I'm not trying to say that my struggles or trials or weakness is any greater than any of yours. In fact, I know some of the weaknesses and challenges that you have had or are enduring right now, and they're greater than mine. And I'm not trying to curry favor by any means, because God is good and is greater than any challenge or trial that we may come against. But just to put the message and the scripture in context this morning. And recently, because our circumstances have changed, I've had to take on a part-time job. And at first, there wasn't one that came quickly, but then finally one came, and it turned out to be in retail. And I wasn't too concerned about working and pastoring. I thought I could easily swing anywhere, 12, 18 hours, somewhere around there, and still keep up my responsibilities at the church, not realizing in my ignorance that if you're going to do retail, that's very hard to do in the Christmas season. And so the manager of the store that I'm working at, told me, listen, I can give you 40 hours. I've got all this payroll I need to get rid of. And I said, well, I don't want 40 hours. So I said, I'll work, he said, what do you want to work this coming week? And I said, well, I'll work 22 hours. And gave him a different schedule to work. And it worked out okay. And then I got the schedule for this past week, which for a pastor, Christmas week is usually pretty busy. And I looked on the scheduling, and they gave me 37 hours. And I thought to myself, the first thing I thought to my came to my mind is, how am I going to do all this? How am I going to do everything that I would like to do, and how am I going to effectively do what I'm called to do, especially my primary responsibility as a pastor, and there are many, of preaching and teaching the Word of God, and not just mailing in a message. And the truth of the matter is this. This challenge that I face these past few weeks is not a challenge that I have not faced before. There have been other times. In fact, my first pastorate was a small church that I had to work full-time, and we had two Sunday services and Wednesday night, and I would often work 40 to 60 hours a week there. And I know many of you were here during my time of cancer, but that also was taxing and stressful as far as trying to fulfill my obligations for the Lord. And there were other times as well that didn't have anything related to as far as time. But there have been times and seasons, not consistently. May I say, times of weakness are seasons. But there have been many times under many situations and circumstances where I've had to minister not out of my strength, not feeling good with everything going great, but out of weakness, out of some deficiency or lacking in my time or other areas. But I must say, this time and every other time that I faced a challenge and wondered in the flesh, how in the world am I going to get through this? God was there every time, not just to be with me holding my hand, but empowering me to do what He has called me to do. And we need to be reminded of this. And I am sure that I could switch place with every one of you who profess the name of Jesus. You could come up here and share the same exact thing. We all need to be reminded of this, because these seasons, just like winter, I know it doesn't seem that way, but winter is coming. But then spring's going to come, and then summer and fall, and it's going to happen all over again. And it's just like life here now in this world, and at this time. We'll go through seasons of plenty, of blessing, and then seasons of challenge. But God will be there. And so we must know that these seasons are regular. They will happen. And they're common to everyone. Not just pastors. Not just missionaries. Not just church leaders or church teachers and preachers. But all of us who profess the name of Jesus. Because as I mentioned before, we are all ministers of the gospel. You are a living epistle, written by God's hand, out in the world, in your family, at your job, in your neighborhood. You don't have an official class or a title, but you are ministering Jesus to people. And sometimes opportunities come your way where you just don't have it in you. But those are times that if you if we open ourselves up to the power and might, to the anointing of the Holy Spirit, those are the times where we are not just powerful, we are the most powerful. Because God is with us, and in no small way. Paul, in the portion of Scripture that we just read, listed several challenges regarding serving Jesus, regarding living for God and worshiping Him, knowing Him, and also being used by Him to touch others with the gospel. He mentions, in addition to weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, difficulties, all those things that challenge us in living for Jesus. But this morning, I'd just like to take time to focus on this one aspect of weakness. And weakness is something that I have experienced, and I don't mean to focus on myself, but just really feel led this morning to share from my own experience. Weakness is not only a heavy tax upon my time. I see several college people here, and you all know, especially just recently, what that's like. But weakness in the life of the believer also manifests itself in other forms. Believers, contrary to those in different theological circles in Christianity, weakness also manifests itself in sickness. I know there are some people who don't believe Christians should ever be sick, or sickness is not part of the believer's life. Well, if it's not, why are there gifts of healing? We live in mortal bodies. And you can have all the faith in the world. And I hope you do have all the faith in the world. But it won't stop getting older. And it won't stop into falling into times of sickness. Our sister sharing this morning her challenge this past year. There's also the weakness of financial difficulty. And financial difficulty is not only something, not that God doesn't provide all our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, but, you know, think of the Apostle Paul. There were times where he ministered in plenty, and then there were times that he ministered in lack. Not that his needs were not taken care of, but there wasn't an overabundance. And the lack of finances is not something that just limits what you can buy and purchase. It also limits you for various reasons, being able to serve and worship. I'm not saying it precludes anyone from serving and worshiping, but it does bring a stress upon your life. And then because of the different things that are going on in a person's life, the different pressures that we experience, pressures at your job, pressures in your family, pressures in society. How much more tense is living in the United States today than it was a month ago? Emotional strain and stress, all these things that are going on can make us weak, lessen our ability to be used by God. And then there are times where, as believers, we can be spiritually weak. We, and for various reasons, and we'll talk about some in just a few moments, but because we might have given of ourselves, poured out our hearts so much, we feel spiritually like a dish rag that's had all the water just wrung out of it, and we have nothing left to give. I'm not talking about our minds or our emotion. I'm talking about our spirit. Sometimes we feel spiritually weak. I have to admit, there are some times where I feel God is just a million miles away. But my obligation, my responsibility, whether it's scheduled, and what I mean by that, regular opportunities to minister, in my case, the Sunday morning message, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Or those impromptu where God, despite the fact, and it seemed, don't you realize, God, what I'm going through? That I'm at the worst place possible. I'm at my weakest point. And here you plunk this opportunity right in front of me. It's staring me right in the face. You're in the seat today, Chris. And there's, you know, no getting away. And I have nothing in and of myself to give. Those are times we can be and should be the strongest. And there are many causes to weakness. In Paul's case, we read from our text, his weakness was a direct result of the spiritual warfare that was going on in his life. Verse 7, once again, Paul, in sharing his experience of weakness, said to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Listen, Satan is a relentless individual. He is not intimidated when you are strong, when you're full of the Holy Spirit, when you're full of faith, when you're doing good. He won't run away. He will challenge you. We know this to be true because immediately after Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit, after he was baptized in water, the Spirit of God came upon him. He was tempted by the devil. The devil didn't say, whoa, this is the Son of God and the Holy Spirit. The third person of the Trinity is with him. And he has no pity upon you when you are weak. That is why it's so important. That's what I loved about Thursday night's human video. About putting on the armor of God. We are at war every moment of our lives. And one of the chief designs of the enemy for you, every one of us who is here today, is to undermine our ability to serve God, to make us weak, in order to bring us to places of fear and of doubt and of discouragement. And so he works hard to try to bring mayhem into our lives. But in addition to that, Satan is a very opportunistic individual. And even if, and part of the reasons that we suffer weakness in life, our schedule gets out of control, we get sick, isn't so much Satan, it's just a byproduct of living, of being imperfect people and living in an imperfect world. You have to work hard to get through in life. That's part of living. Even those people, you know, it looks like they're just, you know, sipping cool drinks by the pool all day. If you did that for any amount of time, you wouldn't be doing that for very long. You'd have a cup, but it'd be you'd be outside of, you know, downtown saying, you know, for the most part. We're imperfect people. We have imperfect bodies, and this is an imperfect world. God is greater, no doubt. And God makes us victorious, but we're not insulated from that. The Bible says, Jesus himself said, it rains on the just and the unjust. There's no umbrella that keeps us from tragedy when tragedy is widespread. Satan is very opportunistic that when those things, just as a byproduct of life, happen, to whisper in our ears and to try to get us to a place where we give in to our weakness instead of giving ourselves over to God. And then there is the issue of other people. And we talk about when you come to Jesus, and this is true, and I'm not taking away from this at all, if not adding to it. But when you come to Jesus, the Bible tells us he bears our griefs and carries our sorrows. And there's a reason for that. There's two, actually. Before we come to Christ, we can't handle them by ourselves. That's why we turn to, you know, sex or drugs or different things to try to escape reality until Jesus comes in. But when you accept Jesus as your Savior, you're given more burdens. Now, he bears them, but you're given more burdens. And the burden is this, that if you choose to accept Christ as your Savior, you are inviting the trial of persecution in your life. Jesus himself, and it's one of the hard sayings of discipleship, Jesus himself said, as the world has persecuted me, so shall the world persecute you. Not everyone will like you. Even though if you're truly living for Jesus, you are a likable person. But if you're serving God, not everyone will like you. Not only will they not like you, they will try to tear you down. There is something in them, and what's in them is darkness. The Bible says men love darkness rather than light because it hides their evil deeds. And Satan may have a little bit to do with it, but it's just human nature. We'll try to undermine your faith and your life because they hate who you are in Jesus, because it exposes in them what they are without Jesus. And then, of course, there's the issue of sin. Sometimes we're brought to a place of weakness as a direct consequence to our own failures, which makes life more difficult. Now, may I say regarding sin, I thank God that we're under grace, amen? And God is greater than all of our trials, adversities, including our own sin. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from every sin. And so we have seasons of weakness that come. So let me share with you some of the things that I've learned through these, and am in the process of learning through these seasons. Number one, and I mentioned how Satan is opportunistic, likes to take advantage of our weakness. One of the things that we need to be very, very careful of when we are in these seasons is to not give ourselves over to guilt because we're not able to do everything that we would like to do. Now hear me on this point because I think this is very important. The one thing that God's Word is teaching us is that when times get tough, it's not a reason just to run and hide until, you know, the storm blows over. It's kind of like, you know, when we've had hurricanes in the past few years and different things. The emergency responders had to be out there to bring salvation and help the people, and so should we. But during these times of weakness, it is impossible to do everything that we'd like to do, and the enemy is right there trying to make us feel guilty for not being a quote-unquote, good Christian. Never be ashamed or never be made to feel guilty for not being able to do what you simply cannot do. One of the things I love about the apostles who were living and serving for Jesus under the power of the Holy Spirit is they served God without shame. Not only in standing up for Jesus in a world that's hostile to Jesus, but also in the situation of their own predicament. Case in point, Acts chapter 3, Peter and John going to the temple to pray. And as they did, there was a lame beggar asking for money. And they didn't have a penny between them. And they didn't turn around and say, well, let's find another doorway in. And they didn't apologize to the lame man say, I wish we had some. I feel so bad that I'm not able to give these things to you. Their response, we read in Acts chapter 3, verse 6. Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Now, there's a lot there, but the thing I'd like to focus on this morning is that first phrase. The man, in addition to not being able to walk, had a material need. He was a beggar. He could not work, and he needed funds to live, and they didn't have it to give him. And they didn't make excuses. They didn't run away. They didn't hang their heads in shame. They simply stated the fact. And let me tell you, there'll be times where you just will not be able to do what you would like to do. I'm not talking about what God is mandating you have to do, whether you feel like it or not. But there are times where we like to help someone, and we simply cannot do that. We'd like to minister to someone. We'd like to come in and fix their problem. But we don't have the time or the resources to do it. And the temptation is to feel, oh, you know, what kind of a Christian man or woman am I if I can't do this thing? But if you can't, you can, and God's Word says it's okay. In fact, not only is it okay, sometimes it's in God's plan in order to do something greater in and through someone else, and this is what I mean by that. You know, as a pastor, and I know there are many other individuals in the body of Christ as well, not just pastors, but we want to be able to do everything for people. You know, because, you know, that's just God in us. And sometimes we kind of hog the opportunities. You know what I mean by that? We're, you know, oh, I see a need. And instead of just standing back and letting God use me, you know, someone else, you know, there are a lot of other people in the body of Christ than just one person. So sometimes God keeps us so that other people can have an opportunity to step out in faith and exercise the gifts that God gives them. Sometimes, and one of the things that we need to be careful of, and since we're all ministers here, there are people in your life who you minister to who are in some ways dependent upon you spiritually. Dependent upon you to pray, dependent upon you to encourage, dependent upon you to help out, to serve. And that is good. That's part of what the body of Christ is all about, people ministering to one another. But sometimes people lose sight of God because, you know, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so has been such a stalwart minister in their lives, their focus is more on that person than the Lord Jesus Christ. And God prevents us from being that instrument of service to them so that they can get their eyes back on Jesus and trust Jesus. And of course, ministering in weakness allows us to trust in God more and grow in faith. Secondly, we shouldn't let the future psych us out or intimidate us. One of the worst things that happens to the believer that brings a believer in Jesus to a place of doubt, hinders them from serving God as they should, hinders them from living in joy, is worrying about how they are going to do what they need to do, knowing that they've got all this stuff going on in their lives. Too often we let the future psych us out. What I mean by that, you know, I think of sports and, you know, the game, you know, take for instance the game of football. The game of football actually starts before they do the, you know, the coin flip. It's all the trash talking beforehand. You know, players between themselves say, you know, I'm going to get the best of you. I did this last week. I'm faster than you. And the reason they say all that trash talk is they're trying to get into the head of their opposition so that they're all worried and second-guessing themselves and fumbling and all this during the game. And for some people, it's very effective. And I'm not even talking about, say, we do this to ourselves. This is the flesh. We get all worried about what we're, you know, I'll take myself, all worried about, you know, Thursday night we had our Christmas Eve service. I had a really long, long weekend. And the first thought that jumped into my mind, how am I going to get ready for that thing? I could spend all my time worrying about it to the point where I get discouraged, fed up, and not want to do it, although I would have had to do something. But there are other situations where we do have a door where we can exit opportunities that come our way. And we think to ourselves, I don't think I can do it, and give in to fear or discouragement and give up on that. Don't let fear, in fact, Jesus speaks to this, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 34. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen. Don't let fear rob you and others of a great blessing. Let me tell you, one of the greatest blessings there is as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is being used by God to touch someone with the power and the love of Jesus, whether it's a believer or an unbeliever. There's no greater feeling than that. But when we're, how am I going to, you turn that opportunity of blessing into a time of fear and dread, a bundle of nerves that will eat you up and take all the joy. And, you know, I hate to use the word fun, but I can't think of another word, fun out of it. You also may rob an individual of an opportunity to receive God because you might be the only person that God can use at that very moment to touch someone with the love of Jesus. Thirdly, and I probably should have begun with this point, but we need to understand that ministering from weakness, again, it's seasonal, but ministering from a place of weakness is part of being a follower of Jesus. We need to be mindful of scriptures such as these, our text this morning. It's something that the apostles went through, and not just the Apostle Paul in this one instance, the book of Acts. The writings of Paul and of John, Paul specifically, there were seasons of weakness in his ministry. It's going to happen. Don't allow it to bring you to a place of condemnation. And when you go through these things, it's not a result of having, you know, the weak faith or sin in your life. It's just part and parcel of living for Jesus. Fourthly, understand that God uses you in your weakness for His glory and for your good. Romans 6:28, very common but very powerful scripture. We know in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Some of the most powerful encounters, not just being used by God, and when you're ministering from weakness, it's mostly, if not all, God and none of you. And that's where it should be, anyways. But when it's all God, God does things. So it's powerful as far as effect on others. But I have found it's also powerful as far as its effect on me. Just in this past week of having my life and my time stretched, I've seen how strong I could be in Jesus, but in the same time, I also have seen some weaknesses exposed that I have ignored or that were safely buried underneath my time of comfort or ease. These are times of cleansing. I have found these times to be a time of cleansing where God does a work within my heart, where God strengthens me in the most important way, that being faith and spirit. Times of growth in my character, patience, and you know many of the scriptures that we speak of. And there are times because people know that it's God, where God is glorified. And as the Apostle Paul writes, the last point on this, there's things that I have learned and I'm also learning. Our weakest times are our most powerful times. Once again, chapter 12, verse 10. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I can't say I've learned it yet. But I am in the process of learning that these times of weakness, are times that need to be not only accepted, but cherished. Paul writes, not just, I just deal with it, I've come to accept it. I delight. I take joy when I'm at my worst. Not because he was some kind of sadist, because when he was at his weakest point, God in his life was at his strongest. I shared this before, but let me share it again because it was such an important part of my life. When I was at the sickest point of my cancer, starting out the chemotherapy with the cancer all in my body and weak mentally and all that stuff that goes along with it, God was so real to me that it was as if I reached my hand out, I could physically touch Him. Why? Because that is the nature of God. When we're at our weakest, when we are at our lowest, He is there, and He is there in no small way. I have found in my life, in my preaching ministry, some of the most powerful sermons I have shared. You might disagree with me, I don't know. At least on the inside, have been sermons that I just didn't feel like I had the strength or the time to do them justice, but God was there, not just in a small way, in a great way, in a surpassing way, because we serve a surpassing God. In my weakness, I've seen God do more things, because it was all God, and it wasn't me. There are reasons for this, and I'd like to ask Christine and Henry if you'd return, please. First and foremost, you know, God, He's not concerned. I don't mean He's definitely moved by the feelings of our weakness. I'm not denying Scripture, but He's not concerned with what Satan's doing in our lives or the struggles that we're going through, as far as you being able to do what He has called you to do. It's not like, oh, look what Satan's doing. Look what's going on in this sister's life or this brother's life. Because He knows in each and every one of us, if we allow Him to, if we continue to step out in faith in the name of Jesus, even when we don't have it in the tank, so to speak, He's there. And will give more than enough. So it's not a matter of God. In fact, the more we need, the more He gives, and even more than that. Secondly, and I'm not taking anything away from the importance of study, preparation, practice. Not that I stand in front of a mirror and preach my sermons, but I do go over them in my mind. The work of the kingdom of God is a supernatural work. Very little depends on us. It entirely depends on the Holy Spirit. We're just the vessel. And thirdly, is the role of people. What I mean by that, I mean this. When I'm in times of weakness, and I may not have as much time to pray as long as I would like, but let me tell you, when I'm weak, I pray harder. I pray at those times the way I need to pray every time, which is with a desperate, broken heart. Psalm 51, a broken and contrite heart, God, you will not despise. The sacrifices of God are broken and contrite. And secondly, because of the prayers of other people. One reason I have been, and you know, I qualify success with, you know, God being faithful to use me in this church here is because of you folks praying for me. I have felt your prayers this week. I felt God. But last night, especially as I was going through my notes for this morning, the Holy Spirit reminded me that, hey, in what you're doing, everyone who's praying for you, they're sharing in your prayer, and not just this past week, but all, you know, the 2 years I was on chemotherapy and other points in my life, your prayers are powerful and have given me strength. That's why it's so important that we pray for one another. Amen. God be with one another. So we're going to sing a closing hymn this morning, and I'd like you all to stand. And as we sing this hymn, before we corporately pray before God and ask God to speak to our hearts and lives this morning, a few brief concluding thoughts. Number one, weakness is something that we should not only expect, not only accept, but something that we should embrace. And not only as individuals, but as a church. We've talked about and we've celebrated 2015 because God has done some great things in this assembly this past year, but it's been a year of weakness. And those of you who have been serving here this year understand exactly what I'm talking about. Hasn't God been just amazing this year? And I believe that for the Church of Jesus Christ in general, especially in this country, we've had it good for a while, but it's going to be more of a struggle and more of a trial. The political power of the church has severely diminished. And some people may argue if that's good or bad. It doesn't matter. God's still strong. We're strong in Jesus. But let me tell you, as a church, not only do churches go through seasons of weakness, it does not mean that God has forsaken that church. In fact, those are times when God can do great things and will do great things. When we're weak as far as the world is concerned, we're going to see God move in a powerful, supernatural way. And I'm not just saying that just to kind of pump everyone up. We have an example of this. An example of this are two churches. You're all taller than me, so I got to stand up here. Two churches in the book of Revelation. One church is in Revelation 3. It's the Laodicean church. It was a church that was strong as far as the world was concerned. They had all the money. We're rich. We're influential. We have everything we need. God said, you're poor, wretched, and miserable. And they were on the brink of losing the presence of God, being spit out of God's mouth. In the prior chapter, chapter 2, there was a church called Smyrna. A church that was poor. A church that was persecuted. The world said, oh, poor. They had pity on poor little Smyrna. A little church that doesn't have hardly anything. But Jesus said to that church, you are poor, but you are rich. The church, and I'm not talking just about our church, I'm talking about Church of the United States, I feel is going to go through, as far as the world is concerned, poverty, struggle, trial, but it's going to go through a time of power and might. Because when we are weak, we are strong. Amen? Amen. Let's sing together before we pray. And let's ask God and believe God that God, even at our weakest moments, especially in our weakest moments, is going to move in and through our lives in a most powerful way in the name of Jesus. Sister, if you believe us.